You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes. Hope your guys' Thursday is off to a great start. We'll get back into Texans right now with Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, will be on the call with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler this Sunday night at Arrowhead. Going to be a cold one, but Danen will be in the warm, cozy booth while Kling is freezing his butt off on the sideline. What's going on, man?
Well, I just put away my violin for Klingler since he'll be on the sideline. You know, we'll have a taste for him after the game. Just one shot for him because I know he'll be freezing down on the field. And I feel so sorry for him. I do. Can't you tell?
Yeah,
I
can
don't
really
sense any sarcasm
a lot, of sympathy there as we're talking to Danen Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Real quick, what do you make of this college football right now? I mean, obviously the news with Chris Klieman retiring and likely Colin Klein taking over. You played at Iowa. I know you still go to college football games. You've called college football games here recently as well.
Yeah.
What needs to change? Do you think where we're at in college football is sustainable?
Well, first, I want to give a nod to Chris Klieman. I actually called several of his games with the Missouri Valley Football Conference, which is like the SEC of the SCS. If you're not familiar with North Dakota State, South Dakota State, North Dakota, all those schools, UNI, that is the cream of the crop of that division of football. He did a great job, obviously, transitioning to K-State, and I wish the best for them. You guys know Bill Snyder was my offensive coordinator in college, so I've always had an affection for K-State Wildcat football, and one of my close friends, Kevin Lockett, and his boys go there as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think the nature of college football, and I agree with you guys. I was listening earlier in regards to, like, how many teams is enough? And when do you get to a point where, okay, it was four. First it was two, and you had the BCS. Then you had four. Now you're increasing. Like, there's always going to be that outlier of one team or two teams that can argue to be in the field. We see that with college basketball. And the NCAA tournament. So I don't think football would be any different. It's just a matter of setting the standards and the, you know, trying to address the elephant in the room in regards to, do you want the 12 teams or do you want the 12 teams based on being the best in their conferences and beating the best teams? What representative or what representation do you really want for a college football playoff system? I guess for me, I mean, if you're in a conference that happens to have three of the best teams in college football and you've lost to two of them, I don't think that that should make you automatically one of the top 12 teams. If there's a team in the Big Ten or in the ACC that has run the table and has done it in dominant fashion, you can only schedule who you can only schedule. So I guess I'm of the school of thought that conferences matter, records matter, encouraging teams to play head-to-head, I do understand matters, even though we got this dynamic with Notre Dame and who they play early
Miami.
Notre Dame and Miami. I understand that factor, but there's been a lot of football since that game. And just because they both end the season with the same record, like August was a long time away. So I get it. It's almost an impossible predicament for the selection committee. And I don't know what's the right system to implement. I just think that conference should matter. Otherwise, do away with the entire conference and just have a free-for-all, everybody play whoever, and then choose from there. But then there's going to be, you know, the power ratings comes into play of you're not playing these, you know, cupcake non-conference games, and teams are being able to, based on their preseason ranking and the fact that they didn't do anything to lose a ranking, but they may not have done anything to gain in ranking, will put them over the top. So it's a convoluted system. I get it. But it's broken. The NCAA is broken. I think there needs to be a union representative or representation with players regarding the NIL and structure. But that's a whole nother topic we can discuss another time.
Let's talk about the Chiefs on Sunday. Obviously, we know every single week you come on, they're essentially in a must-win situation. We knew if they could lose a game, the Cowboys was one they could afford. The Texans game is not. I guess let's start with the offensive line. Do you think they will adjust their game plan to protect Patrick Mahomes better? This season, they have not done that a lot, even in games. They lose, at least start doing kind of the same thing, Danon. How do you think they'll handle the Texans' pass rush?
So here's my mindset, guys, and I may be in the minority. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody gets paid. And whether you are second on the depth chart, fourth offensive lineman, a rookie, a journeyman, a versatile offensive lineman that rotates from position to position, you get paid every Monday, and you got a job to do. Go do it. And I don't think the recipe for success is catering to what you may assume is a weakness, and then you're actually putting your entire offense in jeopardy, because when you start chipping with extra tight ends or you start rotating extra tight ends in, what do? That's one less player that's downfield that's able to go out for a pass route and be a viable source for Patrick Mahomes. So I know convenient thinking is leave a running back in, help the offensive lineman. Leave a tight end in, chip a defensive lineman or a rusher off. Okay, how often do you do that? When do you do it? Do you only do it on first down? Do you do it on third and long? Like, you get where I'm going with it? Like, I think it really just comes down to we're paying you to do a job. If you can't do a job, we'll find somebody else to do the job in case this happens next year or later in the season. And I feel like as a player, like, I don't want to go into the game thinking I'm handicapping the team and thinking that you're changing up game plans. Like, I've been a part of the game plan for 14 weeks. I've watched you, Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, stand up in front of the team and present what we're going to do as a unit that's going to be a winning performance. I can tell that if I came in this week, you all of a sudden catered something, and then you don't believe in me, and you're not giving me an opportunity to earn my money and showcase my skills. Because I do believe as a player, I'm just as good as everybody else. Like, you don't believe you're less than.
Sure.
So then how are you able to showcase that? So I guess that's a long-winded answer to basically say, you get paid, go out there and earn your money.
So it totally makes sense. What about as you're talking there, what came to mind was, while that might be the case for the player, as a coach, though, is there not some responsibility, whether it's in game or going in? Like, if I as the coach, though, feel like, hey, this player's strength or weakness is going to not allow us to do blank. I need to, you know, I don't know, move the pocket a little bit more to roll out to the right more or whatever it may be. That is that not still, though, absolutely something as a coach I have to be responsible for as much as the player might want to prove that they're not going to have a drop off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the game plan is the game plan, and we've seen, even with a full, healthy offensive line, we've seen Patrick Mahomes move the pocket. We've seen him roll to the right and run that sprint right option type of route. We've seen him roll halfway to the right and throw back deep across the field and utilize Xavier Worthy's speed. We've seen all of those different manipulations of the offense. My point is that let's continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And then in-game adjustments are, you know what, today is his day. And that dude, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., they are eating my lunch. Okay, now we can make the adjustments within the game. I just don't like the idea, and I feel like from a player's perspective, you have been in those meetings and in the game planning sessions, and now all of a sudden we're, you know, like, let's say, for instance, when I played, if I was getting the start because guys were down and we were a run and shoot, throw the ball all over the lot, and now all of a sudden because Damon's starting, we're going to run the ball, that would be something that I don't think would be adopted very well by not just me, but by any of the players on the offense. Because now you're saying we're in a severe hole and this guy is hampering us and we can't do what we do. So I get the in-game adjustments are a part of every game plan, series to series, not just halftime. But I don't like the idea of, okay, we've had this mini bye since we played on Thursday. We kind of knew that these offensive linemen would probably not be available. We knew Josh Simmons was going to be on IR. Let's go ahead and cater this game plan against the Houston Texans in this fashion. I feel like it would be a little bit demoralizing to the rest of the guys.
What about the Texans offense? You know, we've understandably so focused so much on this dominant defense, but offensively, I mean, CJ Stroud has missed games. Even when he's played, he's been average. Hasn't looked like the guy a couple years ago that looked like he was going to be a top five, top 10, you know, quarterback in this league. Nico Collins has been banged up, but he looks like a stud. What do you make of the offense of the Texans?
I feel like their identity with D'Amico Ryans has been defense and offense, don't screw it up. Like, that's pretty much been the recipe for success since their 0-3 start. And C.J. Stroud, whether he was in the lineup or out of the lineup and helping the backup quarterback, et cetera, has to buy into that. Now, what we've seen in recent weeks or in recent starts for him, it seems like he does. He recognized Nico Collins as an automatic mismatch with his size, the bigger receivers. He's putting it in positions where those guys can go and make plays, and they're leaning more on their running game. And he's living for fourth down, flip the field, punt the ball to the other offense, and let the defense work its magic. If that's going to be a way for them to make the playoffs and make some noise in the AFC South, so be it. And I think he has to be the guy that has to buy into that. However, what we've seen time and time again over the course of the last 7-plus years has been the inability of opposing quarterbacks that face Patrick Mahomes to go out on the field and execute a game plan that doesn't allow them to try to outshine Patrick a little bit. Like, we've seen that time and time again where the quarterbacks, they can't help themselves. Yeah. They can't help themselves but to want to showcase that, hey, I'm as good as 15 across the field. We've even seen coaches go against the game plan because they want to showcase that they're better than Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think that would be a severe misjudgment by D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans, especially coming in here with the weather the way it's supposed to be and how we have the 12th man with the fans. Like, we can hope that he tries to go and air it out. That would not bode well for them. But I think if they stick with their game plan that's gotten them to this point, protect the football and let the defense work its magic, then we're going to have a really, really tough time.
Are you with me, Dana, I guess, on the defense at least, where I don't think Spags has lost his magic touch? I think if you have four down linemen who can't get pressure, the blitzes don't work the same. Because when you blitz, if those guys aren't also helping contribute to the pressure, there's almost sometimes I like the call from Spags Fine, and that the pressure is not getting there, not his fault, I guess, in some sense, especially in those like third and longs against Dallas. Where do you think the pass rush has gone wrong? Is it just that the players aren't coming up? Do you think the scheme's been caught up to a little bit? Where do you think the issues are?
I think it's all on the players. I don't besmirch the name of Steve Spagnuolo now. I don't think that he is washed up. I don't think that anybody's figured him out. I think it's all on the players, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Four down linemen, Charles Omenihu, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, George Karloftis, if you rotate Jerry Tillery in there, Mike Pinnell, four, a semblance of four of those guys got to get to the quarterback. What teams are doing is basically they're saying, we don't believe that you can get to our quarterback with four. We're going to stop our running back in the backfield to protect just in case you blitz. And whether it's Shamari Connor, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil that's blitzing, we'll have that running back there to help clean things up, because we still don't believe that the four guys up front are going to get to the quarterback. And if by chance you don't blitz, then we're just going to leak that running back out and hit him as an outlet in case the quarterback is under duress. Like, that's literally the offense that we've seen week in and week out, whether it's the Broncos, the Colts, or even last week with the Cowboys. So if the four down linemen don't get the job done, then we're going to be swimming upstream like we have all season long. That's literally been the game plan against our defense. And I'd like for those guys to take that challenge personally. Like, we need more from the defensive line, because everything, every success that we could ever have on our defense is literally predicated on the front four. Trent McDuffie does not get those pass interference calls. Neither does Jalen Watson. We don't have the issues downfield if the front four guys are doing their job and wreaking havoc like we've seen them do in the past.
Do you find it hard to imagine a world in which they can still win five games in a row, or are you having a hard time quitting this team like some of us?
I think this game is huge. I feel good about the games at home. We've played our best football when we've been at home at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's Sunday night football. Everything is on the line. We have tiebreaker implications. We have playoff lives implications, and we got to get the job done. Once we get this job done, then I feel really good about the rest of the games being the opponents that we play. Obviously, the huge one will be Christmas night against the Broncos, because they'll still have something to play for in regards to a number one seed. So they're going to come in here with a willingness. If we're able to run the gambit up until that point, they're coming in with the mindset of solidifying a number one seed, a bye week, and slaying the dragon of the Chiefs and putting us in our coffins for the year. And that's a lot of incentive for a divisional rival to come in. So our hands will be full then, but we get past this week against the Texans, I feel like there's going to be a boost in energy, a boost in confidence, especially if we're able to do it with our offense against that defense.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, will be listening Sunday night right on the Chiefs Radio Network. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. I'll be on tonight, too, as well. Players only. Back. We got some stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. That's Danan Hughes. He joins us each and every Thursday. He's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I know we'll do picks tomorrow. But my whole thing is, on an individual basis, I can see the Chiefs winning each one of these five. It is, can they string them together? The Texans' offense is why I think the Chiefs can win this game. Because I don't think the Texans' offense is that good at all. Danan described it as a basically don't mess up offense. Our defense will take care of it. That's not an offense that I'm fearful of. My worry is they beat the Texans on Sunday, Cody, and then they either don't beat the Broncos or they slip up and play a bad game against the Chargers. That's where I'm at. So as much as I told you, I think the Texans can cover, I think the Chiefs can win on Sunday, but I will be picking them probably if they do to lose the Chargers or Broncos 2 weeks later.
It's going to be hard to imagine. It is hard to imagine them winning five straight games. And yet I remain optimistic because the Chiefs and
like
maybe
can
one
be
day
true.
We'll
like,
all just snap together, you know,
both can be true. Like I can tell you, I don't think they're winning five in a row, making the playoffs, but I could also tell you still that they're winning on Sunday. Like, but those are two different things. Like, I think people are taking it as like, if I think they're making some missing the playoffs, I must be picking them for sure to lose on Sunday. No. They can win on Sunday. My issue is them stacking the ones after as well.
Winning the other four games after that. Small news in the NFL, by the way, Adam Schefter says, a veteran corner, Darius Slay, he was claimed by the Bills on Thursday. Uh-huh. He's unsure if he wants to continue playing football at all.
Oh, okay.
And will not be reporting to Buffalo. Says, quote, Slay is honored that a first-class organization like the Bills claimed him, but he is going to take some time away from football right now.
He doesn't want to
play. And decide in the next few days if he wants to keep playing. So he sounds like he doesn't want to play the game anymore.
Yeah, well, you know what? If he knows it's
honestly,
like,
he probably got down on a plane in Buffalo in December and was like, hell no.
I
don't want to play football
that
bad.
He played in fifth. He'd be going against
on Sunday. I was like, you know what? Yeah, fine.
Look, maybe he doesn't believe in the Bills, but also, like, maybe if he doesn't have it, he also, the cold weather, I mean, he played in Philly and he played in Pittsburgh this year. I mean, he's
done with it. Maybe Miami claimed his ass. He'd have reported. Like, you know what?
Nah, well, he only have a couple games left.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But in sunny weather.
He's already got the ring, right? So he doesn't care, doesn't he? He was on the team.
Yeah, he was.
So the Eagles a year ago.
Sometimes
you
know this works. Sometimes people just, like, get in there and they're like, nope. I don't have it in me anymore. It's not my spirit, as Eric Berry once said. So
yeah,
I get that part.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
A week or so ago, Cody said that him and the family were going to an actual, maybe not a Christmas tree farm, but certainly going to buy a live tree.
Up.
And you bought a live tree, right?
We did?
You didn't go artificial. Okay.
I couldn't lift it because of the hernia surgery.
Right.
It
was so still you do.
Maybe the wife carried it.
Shout out to her, man. That's awesome.
Tried to offer to have somebody come by and
did
help her.
Did you feel just so like...
Tried to help her, or tried to offer, and
she
said,
felt really bad.
What was?
I'm just telling you right now, I was genuinely afraid someone was going to drive by in their car and watch some dope standing behind as his wife carries a tree and be like, they're going to think I'm the worst human being on the planet. And I offered to have somebody come help her, and she said, no, I think I can. Let's try and see if I can get it first.
I wish we got video of you standing there and your wife carrying it in, and every year, I would just tweet out that video. I'd be like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Did the kids come with you to pick it up?
Yeah, they did.
All right, so the reason why I brought that up anyway was there's a story from a Christmas tree farm in New Jersey, and the controversy here is they're getting crushed on social media and stuff because they've been selling, quote, horrific spray painted furs while dismissing safety concerns. People believing the product is to be safe. They're spray painting them colors. So they basically, here, I'll show you the photo. But
yeah, can I see?
They're spray. You can tell they're not naturally the normal green color.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, magenta.
Magenta and looking like they're snow covered. And there's some ones here, further photos where they're blue and all this. But they're not so green, evergreens. They've spruced them up. They've got even some like USA, you know, colored red, white and blue trees as well. And people are upset because like you're spraying poison everywhere. Great idea.
I mean,
absolutely
the trees
are horrific.
Cut down, in fairness. It's not like they're poisoning the tree more. It's gonna die.
People are saying,
it's
I like the
down.
Natural trees, please. However, others are apparently, quote, dying to get their hands on a different pigmented pine from the
fir. You guys have seen like several different colors of fake Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
Why can't these people get in on the action?
Because they thought they were buying a real tree, I guess. But also, if you see it,
there's
spoiler,
real trees behind it.
Yes, if you go to a farm and the tree is red, white, and blue, it's not real.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This
right,
one's
it's,
like
it's,
bright
it's clearly
purple.
Can't be.
If you
natural.
Didn't know that a bright purple tree didn't come in the wild, well, then I don't think that that's on the tree farm, and you're just an idiot. they're not like at fault because you're a dummy. Trees don't come in purple.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if they want to, like, again, they're not poisoning the tree.
Uh-huh.
I guess aerosols, but, like, now we're just talking about policing any kind of negative effect.
Uh-huh.
They're just trying to get more people in. They thought more people might drive into their thing if they had some trees painted. I will say they got a lot of them painted. They have very few natural colored trees, it does appear. Pink, purple, dark blue, light blue, turquoise, magenta, they said, are all on their site. So make sure to choose the right one for you. How much do you think they ask for the Wyckoff colored trees?
I have no idea what a normal one costs, so.
It depends. Like, if you... They had them for
We've
sale.
We've gone over this, right?
They had them for sale at Costco, which I was surprised to see. And at Costco, they were only like $50, but they were looking kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that I got looked a little bit better than that. Probably like $100. I don't know.
That is the trash of the day, besides Cody standing there and watching his wife carry in the live Christmas tree.
It hurt, dude.
Hmm.
I felt so bad. I felt so bad.
Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. There's a former Texan that could be going up against his old team on Sunday. Are we buying this angle, or is this just a fun Twitter talking point? We'll get to that next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
I want to get into the Chiefs defense and how they do against with the blitz, I should say. Not against it, but with the blitz in a second. But this is, to me, more of a social media thing. I'm just curious. Maybe you guys disagree. Look, Damian Pierce was signed, a week and a half ago or whatever at this point in
Something
time.
Something like that, yeah.
Former Texan. Had a very good rookie season. Got hurt, kind of ran out of favor there. I don't know if he was active more than one game this year in Houston. They have Nick Chubb. Woody Marks has been a nice little piece. Still not impressive, but has been nice. And so they ended up cutting him. Chiefs pick him up, and everybody's like, revenge game, Damian Pierce playing his old team.
Are we sure
that he's active? And by the way, I still think his biggest impact would be if they decided, hey, we got to get something more in the return game. Nico Armijo, sorry, you're inactive today. Damian Pierce is returning punts or whatever it may be, or kicks.
How have they not gotten to that point yet? How have they not pulled because one of their better wide receivers, better players? Like, Nico Romeo's not getting it done. He keeps running backwards and side to side and a million other problems, and they're trying to win the whole game on special teams on a single kick, single punt return.
He hasn't been good, but also part of it is I think coverage unit and the return unit is just not good as a whole, which falls on Dave Tobe. I'm a little surprised they haven't tried to mix it up and try to get something more out of it. He hasn't been good. That would be where I could see, if you tell me Damian Pierce has any chance to make an impact the rest of this season, and maybe it's Sunday night, it'd be in the return game. Isaiah Pacheco's healthy. Kareem Hunt's healthy. Damian Pierce is not getting carries. Rashard Smith has been active every game, basically, or whatever. Like, Damian Pierce is not going to factor in the run game, barring an injury, right? So
I don't think he's going to be active.
If he's ever active, it's only because of the return game.
Yeah. Which, look, if you want to say revenge game because he gets a kick return for a touchdown, fine. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think revenge game storylines do not make any sense unless they're a starter. Unless they're a starter or like a valuable rotational, you know, like defensive line, like where we call them starters or non-starters, but they play a little bit. Mm-hmm. Damian Pierce won't get a touch unless it's in the kick return game. Now, I will say for the kick return stuff, there are no bad ideas right now.
Sure.
Because I'm going to guess it's a scheme related issue and that Dave Tobe did a worse job scheming it and hasn't been able to coach his way out of it during the season, because some of the times Nico Romijo, it's his own fault. Punt returns, I think, are some of his own fault. He stands around there and does not. This is the DeMarcus Robinson issue that used to exist.
Well, you're not Dante Hall. Don't run backwards.
Yeah, where are you going? Yeah. You're not the X factor. Yeah. Straight. But on the kick returns, he's getting hit before the 20, I feel like, every time he touches the ball. So either he's just going the wrong way, which I don't think is happening here, or their blocking scheme or ability to block without holding on those kick returns stinks. Mm-hmm. And so on the kick returns themselves, I'm kind of with you. I don't necessarily think that's Romijo's fault. On the punt returns, I do. And can I ask another question about the punt returns, since we're just briefly talking about special teams and Damian Pierce? Is there some reason why they still try to fair catch everything inside like the 5 yard line?
Yeah, I thought this was like just the rule that people learn when they're playing. And you know,
is there some reason why they fair catch it at the 7 every time?
Yeah.
And don't just block and let it go past them. They might lead the league in fair catches inside the 10-yard line. It's infuriating.
I mean, I think that solely is the Dave Tobe thing. Like, you're either he's telling them to still fair catch it, or
he hasn't been able to coach it out of them.
Or he hasn't been able to coach it out of them. I feel like that's doing it.
So, I've been very critical of Dave Tobe, and I think we all have. It's been warranted on a lot of things. I actually don't think I put this on, like, so in this case, Nico Romijo.
I
just think a player is like, what is the old saying? Like, if your heels are on the 10 or whatever, like, don't fair catch it or something like that.
I don't know if that's still the prevailing thought, but I mean, when it's at the 6 and I see him fair catching, I'm like, for what point? There's still a chance the ball, it's a weird shaped ball. There's still a chance that it might careen off and go a better direction and if you lose it, what'd you lose? 3 yards of field position? Mm-hmm. Oh no. You got a chance again in 15. They fair catch it like the 6 all the time. It makes me nuts.
Yeah, the special teams just been a disaster this year. So I am open to ideas there. If Damian Pierce were to ever have an impact, to me, that's where I would be. I don't think anywhere else. And so we'll see. I mean, doesn't Tobe talks today, so maybe he'll be asked about the return game. I don't think Andy's been asked about it. Well, certainly wasn't yesterday. So we'll see. Right now I would guess he's not active, but if he is, I'll be only excited because I think it would mean he would get a little run on the special teams unit.
Well, they could use a special, as bad as the special teams have burned him this year, boy, could they use one punt return, kick return, touchdown just to
How about a short field? I don't need a touchdown. A return out to the 45. You know, that'd be beautiful. That's all.
I'm trying to find some numbers on the returning stats. So,
yeah.
Traditionally, Damian Pierce, before this season, he did return some for the Texans. He averaged 23 yards a return.
What's Romijo average?
Romijo this year is averaging 25.9. So he's averaging more this season. If you go back to previous, though, Damian Pierce was averaging 32.1 in 23, 37 in 24. Of course, the kickoffs are different. Nico last year averaged 26.8. So I don't know how much I think that's, you're looking too far into it, I suppose, if you're looking up returning stats.
They can try other people. Like, someone's asked about Jalen Royals, and Xavier Worthy. I'm like, well,
honesty, Jalen Royals might actually not be a bad flyer, because that man can't get on the field in any other way other than special teams, it seems like, in the kickoff coverage game.
In fairness,
why not try him as
a
returner?
Like, we knew Jalen.
Yeah, I don't need him on the field for offense. Who are you wanting to take off the field?
I'm just saying he at least could get a, like, we've seen Nico Romijo play snaps throughout the season. He can't even get ahead of him.
I don't know if that's fully, I mean.
Nico Romijo was out there when we were at the Lions game. Nico Romijo was out there running routes. I remember seeing 81 out there. I think he caught a pass in that game, too. He ran routes in that game against the Lions. Nico Romijo did. I saw him on the field.
It happens.
I think he caught a pass in that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at how many offensive snaps. But
Jalen Royals hasn't sniffed a snap unless they're in garbage time.
I mean, yeah.
He hadn't gotten close. Yeah,
Nico Romijo had 2 offensive snaps against the Eagles in when Bryce was out in week 2. And then he had, looked like, 3 or 4 snaps in the
He had
the
one
Lions
catch
game.
Against the Eagles for 21 yards. Mm-hmm. That's his entire stat line on the year.
Yeah.
He had 48 yards last year.
I'm saying Jalen Royals can't even get out there.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, let's not act like Nico Romijo is finding this way to be a huge impact or play 20% of the snaps on off. He's playing
5%. I'm not saying Royals needs to, but he can't get one snap.
No, I don't know who I want on the field instead of him.
No, if you were going to put Nico or Mihi out there, why not put the rookie out there and run a quick little slant or a drag?
Because this is the NFL, I don't feel like there's not like, oh, we got to feel like we have to make sure our third round pick has a catch this year.
I can borderline guarantee you that the one catch Nico Romijo had this year and the two he had last year, he was like the fourth option. It was just a broken play and he was the most open. Like, well, I doubt it was even like a designed.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that he can't get on the, like, if they go empty and they got four wide, he can't even get. How far down is he on the depth chart?
But he shouldn't get
seven
on the field. Like, I don't know. But he should. I don't
is
want.
Is he like seven? Is he like dead last?
Rice, yeah. Worthy, and Brown are three, and then after that, like, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be Romijo and it shouldn't be Royals either. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
There's a whole other conversation. But if your third round pick is the seventh wide receiver on the depth chart, you wasted that pick. Point blank and period. It's even still, you wasted the pick.
I don't think it's fair to say it's a wasted. I don't. Well, he's not.
You could have used it on a defensive lineman.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to say it's a wasted pick. Next year, the only wide receivers under contract are Royals, Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy.
Like I said, it's a redshirt year.
Put Rashard Smith on returns, as the text I'm pointing out. Well, that's fine. I think that would be great, actually.
Yeah, put anybody on returns. I'm not arguing that. I will say we had planned on, and we will continue to talk about what the league will say about Patrick Mahomes if he was to miss the playoffs this year. But Mina Kimes, while we were talking, put out a stat on the Chiefs, and I think it was very telling on exactly the problem defensively and why what I had said to Danen about the four down linemen getting pressure is why this stat holds true, and that Spags didn't just lose his touch. This year, the Chiefs, when they blitz, so they're like, uh-oh, got to send some guys, we're in trouble. They're 31st gold in the NFL in yards per play allowed, 28th in pressure rate when they blitz, so they get no pressure, and 31st in sack rate on the blitz. From 2022 to 2024, so the 3 years prior, they ranked first, second, and third in that metric. So when they blitzed, it worked. Mm. So if you're trying to figure out why are the Chiefs so bad on third down and can't get their ass off the field, it's a pretty simple answer. When they blitz, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked all damn year. And I think a huge part of that is because it can't just be the person who blitzes. The guy who are the defensive linemen also have to create a little of that pressure, and they're not doing it.
It's what Danen Hughes said to us, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, which is teams know if you don't blitz, they're confident. If they leave a running back in, if you do blitz, they believe that running back will be able to chip and block McDuffie or Shamari Connor. And if you don't blitz, then the running back just goes in the flat. And so they believe they hold up. And when you blitz, the running back has been able to successfully block in a lot of cases.
Or
so you haven't gotten home.
Just shove for a slant and not call, not like make it easy. They don't seem like they've adjusted the corner play. They're still playing off for some version of it. But I mean, this to me is about the players, right? We talk about this all the time. Is it players or coaches? Gold, you've been more critical this year of Andy Reid's plan than in previous years.
Sure.
But Spags had the team first, second, and third when he blitzed for three straight years, and what, he just lost the touch? I don't think so. I'm guessing the blitzes are still good, still could work, still are functional, but they don't have the defensive lineman in order to make it work, which means their defensive line plan from the beginning of the season, which is bad. They thought Charles Omenihu would be better, and look, they probably thought Omar Norman Lott would still be healthy. They did take two defensive linemen, so it's not pretending like in the second and third round. So it's not like pretending like they didn't realize they had an issue on the line, but one of those two guys is out for the year and can't help him. And the other guy is coming around a little slow and probably should get more playing time, in fairness.
Yes.
I'd be playing Ashton Gelati way more because Charles Omenihu at this point is a pawn. He's not doing anything. He's just standing on the field at this point. He's not getting any pressure.
Massive disappointment. And you've now maybe know more why he didn't get what he thought he was going to get on the market. I hate to say it. Other teams were correct.
Someone says, and if you don't blitz, it never works. So what do you do? Well, on third down, that's the problem.
That is the defensive issue for Spags in 2025.
Pretty
is
much
you're
summed
right.
It up.
He can't get pressure without blitzing, and when he blitzes, it doesn't usually work either. So that means you don't have a great defense. That's a problem.
How is this, like, knowing that stat alone, how is it a top 10 defense in points per game allowed?
Bend, don't break.
Yeah, a lot of it.
But for the longest time, yards allowed per game, they were relatively okay on,
Is it the kickoff thing?
Where do you guys think they allowed an opponent's yards allowed per game? Houston's number one, by the way. Shocker.
Sure.
I bet you they're 11th right now.
Ninth. Okay. The ninth best yards per game defense. So it's not bend or break. They're barely bending.
No, wait, how far is the margin in terms of
placing? This works. it's pretty tight between them at 9, I would say, to 15. I would say a pretty sizable jump is in like 15, 20 yards difference between pretty much 16 and under.
Yeah, so I wonder if, I know that it's over
Cincinnati,
the course
by the way, is allowing 110 yards more per game than them.
So I know, but the thing with the Bengals is the reason why they've been able to win some of the games they have is because they're forcing turnovers. They forced five turnovers against
Chiefs
Baltimore. The Chiefs haven't. How many turnovers have they forced all season? Have they even forced five?
That was, I think they forced, if that, it just right there. Yeah, I mean, this was the conversation we had on the show right after the, right before the Colts.
So is that
game,
the only two things
they,
are bad?
They don't force many turnovers.
You're saying, you're saying pass problem. Rush and then that, Cody?
I'm saying, are the two things that they are bad at is, three, pass rush, third down defense, and turnovers.
8 turnovers, by the way.
Okay.
But even points allowed per game.
I think that's not, is that right? Hold on. Have they caused 10? Hold on. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong number. I'll get you the exact answer in a second. I think it's 10, actually.
That they've actually done?
Because the Chiefs have turned the ball over 8 times. That was the offensive number. So I'm trying to make sure I get the right number. The Chiefs have 8 turnovers, but what have they forced? This claims 10 forced opponent turnovers.
I was about to say, yeah, I can look up. Total.
So I don't know if not that takeaways. It's the bend on break side of things, Cody, but the Chiefs, and this is
10 is quite bad, by the way. It's 5th worst.
yeah, that's not very good. Them in Denver too. I don't think Denver is very high on the list either. And
Denver is tied with them at 10 as well,
which is also very interesting because of how dominant we say the defense is from the perspective of maybe they're just cutthroat. They don't force the turnovers.
Sacks, they lead the NFL in sacks.
They have like 15 or 20 more than everybody else.
They can't get turnovers because the guy can't throw the damn ball. That's the difference between the Chiefs and them. Look, the rest of the teams all stink. The teams around them are Dallas, Tennessee, the Giants, the Commanders, and the Jets in the takeaway department. Yeah, that's a problem. It's probably not exactly the company you want to keep. And then you got teams like the Chicago Bears who have taken the ball away 26 times, or Houston.
Yeah, the Bears
taken away 19.
That's what's weird about Chicago is like their defense as a whole is not that good, but they're forcing turnovers like crazy. They're so reliant on them, but to this point it's working. They're number one seed in the NFC.
You know what's funny about the takeaway is that they would win a ton of games if they took the ball away because they are the second best team in the NFL at keeping the ball. They don't give it away. Like their turnover differential, they're in the positive, despite the fact they're 5th worst in takeaways because they don't give the football away. They're around league average in turnover differential. Only about half the league is in either zero or positive turnover differential. If they ever took the ball away, I think they'd cruise to a victory against a team. I say.
And look, it's not some secret, right? Turnover margin, like, you know, you win the turnover. You know. Now, it's funny you brought that up. This year, though, it's even more deadly to be a turnover prone team. That makes it. So I promise we're not even going to talk betting, but this is the context of it. Teams that turn it over 2 or more times this year are 30-99. So they only win 23% of the time. You turn the ball over 2 or more times, you only win 23% of the time. That is the worst mark. This is just talking about win or loss since 1990. It's the worst mark since 1990. So more than ever, you turn the ball over 2 times this year, it's really cost you. You're only winning 23% of those games, and that's worse than even normal.
I think this is what is, again, every stat I look up just makes me more frustrated at the Chiefs. I'm like, you should win more. They have played 12 football games and have only given the ball away 8 times. We talk about mistakes. There's one area the Chiefs aren't making a mistake. They protect the damn football. They don't give it up ever.
As you know, it's always the time. It's the timing.
When they throw it to Devin Lloyd or when he throws it.
A pick 6 at the 3-yard line or whatever, you know.
Or the defense can't get a stop late in the game. Like
it's been eight giveaways, and 6 of them have been just like kneecappingly bad.
I mean, the Kareem Hunt one should have got them. They found a way to win against the Colts. Yeah. That one probably, most people all thought at the time that was the end.
Houston, by the way, has only given it away 10 times themselves. So
Houston and the Chiefs are also 2 of the league leaders in time of possession in terms of they just take that time. They go on these long drives.
Mm-hmm.
We do have stats.
We do have a lot of them right now. We do.
I still like that one. I like that
one. We have a lot of stats.
I mean, who's going to be the first person to send out a tweet? If the Chiefs run the ball really well or throw deep down the seam to Taekwon, who's going to be the first person to
tweet out,
tickle your tonsils?
Everybody. It's like, by the way, nobody gets to claim creative credit on that. Everybody's going to be like, oh, the Chiefs are sure tickling the tonsils this Sunday, aren't they?
If they get anything going offensively, we're all going to send it.
Nobody's going to be unique in that regard. It's low-hanging fruit.
Do you think Chris Collinsworth says that at any point of the broadcast?
Sunday Night Football will have
Mike, they're really tickling the tonsils of the Texans tonight.
I don't know if he'll say it, but Sunday Night Football will have some weird animation for it. Not in a sexual way, but they will have some animation. We don't need it. They're the kings of doing weird graphics and stuff. They will have
Can I ask what you think that
I have no idea
animation will look like?
I don't know.
Be creative.
Is it like a dentist situation?
Yes, there you go. Yes, it's going to be a football with a dentist in tonsils.
Look, I would bet that Chris Collinsworth doesn't say it because he tries to avoid. Has any NFL broadcaster made the 6-7 joke yet? Has that been happening?
Sure, somebody's done it. I don't know. Somebody's had it at this point, right?
We've seen NFL players do it with the celebration. I can't get my kids. My kids say it so much. I don't even know. I can't get rid of it in my house. Do your nephews say it as much as my kids?
More and more. Thanksgiving, huh? Multiple times.
Is it irritating you, Cody? To the point of like you're irritated.
I'm almost becoming numb to it at this point.
That might be worse.
I can't even be bothered.
You're going to start saying it.
I still think the key around your kids for this is if you start mentioning it and ruin it for them, then they won't think it's cool anymore and they'll stop.
They're not quite at the right age for embarrassing to ruin something yet. I think in a couple of years, I think you're right. I think I can ruin it when they're like 12, 13, their friends around them like 6, 7. Then they're like, damn it, Dad's ruining this and it's taking out the fun for it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're quite, I think 9 and 7, the embarrassment level hasn't jumped.
They don't get rattled.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't think it's quite.
Well, your son was calling you bro for a little bit. He still says
bro a lot. He doesn't call me bro. Although the other day we were doing something, he said, "Hey, Cody," and I said, "Excuse me."
He called you Cody.
Yeah, I was like, "What the hell are we doing here?"
He's been listening to the show. Cody.
That's exactly what it is. He's like, "Everybody else just calls you Cody. Why can't I?"
You hit me with a first name. That was
that
tough.
Just throw you off. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're just like. I think he was like really trying to get my attention, and he thought maybe the first.
You should
name
just reverse it and be like, just call him Son. The rest of it, don't ever mention
Son.
Just Son. don't mention Desmond at all. Just call him Son.
9 and 7 is a interesting age of. It's an interesting mixed bag of that, but they do have similar interest in 6, 7 rules.
So just say 8, 9 and throw them off. Like 8, 9 and do the same thing. Just
five,
completely
six,
ruin it. Just ruin
six,
the whole
four,
thing.
4, 5. I try, man. It's not working yet. Has anyone? And by the way, if anybody figured out to be a teacher. And teachers can't figure out how to get it out of their classroom. My son said his teacher, he's in first grade, his teacher has a rule that if it gets said, you lose like 1 minute of recess or something as the class.
Oh, wow. She's done with it.
She's done with it. I think it's like you lose 1 minute of recess or there's something.
You know, I get it.
He said, though, that he started, if he wanted to say it, he just started saying it in Spanish.
Oh, my goodness.
So he says, se siete. And I'm like, this is insane.
What?
He's just trying to cheat the rules.
Yeah.
Because she said 6, 7. He's a good kid and listens all the time, but he thought maybe that was a.
That's an honorary move right there.
He thought that was a counterpunch.
Yeah.
He thought maybe saying it in Spanish.
Has it resulted in recess being docked?
Not that he's mentioned, and I do think he'd mention that, so they must be behaving at least outside of that.
Someone says, I have a 5 and 7 year old, and I call them girl and boy. No names. It's girl, boy.
Girl, boy.
Someone says 10-year-old daughter calls me bro all the time from the 785.
Bro's a tough one. That one is, it's just said by every kid and they all say it a bunch. So they don't call me bro as much, but they do still say, bro, why'd you do that? Or here's, God, it's all the ones. What's the one? They'll say POV before they do something. POV, watch me do this. You're like, I can't do this.
I haven't heard that one that much.
Oh, what? That's funny. Point,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. The lingo, man, catches up with you quick if you want to feel old.
Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll talk more about the defense and also a little all 32 right here on Cody and Gold.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.